Menschen, was ist Sache mit Menschen? Und so haben wir doch, ein Wort um die Rassassen, die wir jetzt haben, in drei. Wo du ihn sehen, ist Sache mit Menschen. You're correct, but what do you say? That's correct, you're right, but what do you say? The second declaration you make after the conclusion of the narrative part of the Agada, when we are ready to begin the recital of Halakha. The reading of Chodeiro, Presichoch, and the recital of Halakha, correct? In this declaration we state that events which transpire so many years ago are not only relevant to us, as we said at the beginning of the recital, but that they are a part of our historical experience. There is a difference between being relevant and being experienced. Here we stress the uniqueness of our relationship to the past, our intimacy with the past, and our retrospective experiences or re-experiences of such events which transpired at the dawn of our history. Did you have the capability to experience it? Because if you have that capability to experience history, why is the fighting for Eretz Israel, for the state of Israel? It feels very close to that state, to those sides. Okay, some of it, there are some Machpelah, the Yehuda Mishemu, and he speaks, he pronounces Yehuda Mishemu, so what's so great about Yehuda Mishemu? There's a certain intimacy with the past, with the Jew field, and it's unique in that regard. It is the ability to re-experience, to experience in retrospect events which took place so long ago. And that's what entitles us not only to be concerned and to record events and to tell about them, but to what else? To say hallel, to sing, to dance, to say Shiro Hadosha as if the events happened just yesterday. As if I had witnessed the event. Now, what is the third declaration? So you have two declarations. So one declaration is related to relevance. The second declaration is related to what? To re-experience it. Or retrospection, historical retrospection. What's the third declaration? Yeah, I know the declaration by heart. Yeah. What? Why? The third declaration, Vishwamdo, introduces a complete Amalek machine. What is Amalek? Not a has-been, but who is present everywhere, and whose defeat will usher in to the eschatological era. In Hashem Sholem Achi Mochi Zare Shalom Amalek. Before the two declarations, one deals with relevance, the other deals with re-experiencing. But re-experiencing when? In the past. It's a past event. Both declarations speak of Sipur Yitzchak as an event in the past. One declaration says it is relevant to us. The second declaration says we experience it. But still, the events lie in the past, not in the present. We celebrate Passover, and we observe the Seder, and the Seder body, in order to memorialize what? An event in the past. It is remembering. The not living remembrance, but just remembering. Rishon Gavah, the same of the Lord, Rishon Echot Bovade, introduces an Amalek Vadi. Those events, they occurred 7,500 years ago, you say. Just yesterday. Just before yesterday. Last year. We are not sure that it wouldn't occur tomorrow morning. And a week from now, and a year from now, and a century from now, because there and there, every generation is confronted by a pharaoh. And I must tell you, the pharaoh in Egypt was an excellent guy. The pharaohs of today are by far worse. In every generation, this is the Amalek Vadi. In every generation, there is somebody who is possessed by psychopathic, cruel, bloodthirsty hate, and the target of hate are we, Jewish people. We celebrate the festival not because we remember, not because we re-experience, but because it is a permanent drama, every generation lives through the experience of Yetzias Mitzrayim. In other words, Yetzias Mitzrayim is the story of Yetzias Mitzrayim, is the story of Jewish destiny throughout the centuries and the millennia. You want to know the Jew? Read the story of Yetzias Mitzrayim. You want to know what happened to the Jew yesterday? Yes, that's right. Today? Yes, that's right. What will happen tomorrow? Yes, that's right. Of course, one has to use his intellect to understand the story well. And that's why the story is not just reading. The story is study in depth. The problem of Maseva passing down. Because it is the eternal story. And you know our minute that it comes to Rishon de la Vesenu, when you cover the matzah, when you pick up the course, when you say Rishon de la Vesenu, the Lord is Rechot Bulvar, Omar de Vein al. Why? What's the idea of covering the matzah? Because you pick up the course. Whenever you pick up a cup of wine, you cover the bread on the table. That's understandable. But why pick up the cup of wine? It's just a minute of four. Why? Why is it necessary? Because the cup in biblical lingo has the connotation of destiny. My cup is overflowing. It means my destiny is overflowing. Because Yeshua says so, Rishayim Adeshem Eko. And that is, we want to proclaim that the story which are going to narrate to the medium of recital, of reciting and interpreting Parsha Sahamid and Yodori, we just see it before we start, Seul Magna Bikish Modena Rami, is not the destiny, is not the story of the past. It is the story of our eternal destiny. Okay. These, I mean, those three aspects don't belong to the children. Typical of the Agode face of life. So how many aspects do they cover? Seven. All right, enumerate them. Enumerate them. So just learn. First is clear. Next. Next. Three. Next. Church of God is four. Suda is five. Sheva. Just a minute. Well, yeah. Well, no, just a minute. Just a minute. Three. One. Limit two. That's right. Don't confuse me. Limit two. Masera three. No, Sudan. It's four, Sudan is five, and the eternal book of our destiny. Shura 6, this is 7. So now we are speaking about 8. I want you, I mean, the listeners here, not to listen carefully, and not to draw conclusions. I want this rotation with me until I'll finish explaining this essay. All right, I'm very curious now. So I hope you won't fall asleep. The Mishnah says, the perish Parsha Sarami in the Dalit, and interpret the section of Sarami in the Dalit, at Shihitmir Kola Parsha Kola, until we conclude the whole Parsha. In fact, we don't recite the whole Parsha, from beginning to the last word. We omit the last one, the last 1.5 sentence. A sentence and a half which is omitted when you don't say. Where do you start? Then where do we start? As far as the recycle of the parsha around everybody is concerned. Where do you start? What is the last sentence? No? Who knows that one by half? Vayishma Hashem Eskreinu Vayarash Adinu Vesamoleinu Veslachatzeinu Vayitin Hashem Yitzraam Vyot Chazokom Yisrael Yituyo Vemir Ogodin Vayisis Vemeisim. Here we stop. Vayisis Vemeisim Dovaracha Vyot Chazok Ashtayim Vayisis Shtayim Vayisis Shtayim Ein Vayasabakish Ha'idah Kishbor Palamit Chom Vetraim Vayvayim Vam Tvadeh Rab Judah Vayisim Vem Simonim Vetzach Hadash Dachah. Correct. Then we say, Rabbi Sagurim Aminayna, Reimash Komako Makashim, Abishwach, Mitzrayim, Yosef Chomish Makash, Shalom. So we stop the Isis of the Mitz. When you read the Parsha Arami in the Dobi, in Chumash, it's recorded in Chumash, and the way the pilgrim used to recite, in Beis Hamidrash, of all, we used to add one and a half pasuk. By the Elu al Amokim Aze, Vayitim Lomes Oretz Azeis, Eretz Zor Ascholo Mudvosh, Veato in Evesi Es Reishis Kri Adomo Ashon Asato Yad Hashem. As a matter of fact, if you look up the Sifri, you'll find Midrashic interpretations of the last pasuk as well. There is plenty. By the end of Amok Maze Yochel Aretz Yisroel, how the Zayma Reita won the Zoret Aveis, and the Ma Amok in Zay, Zay of Nisa Pchir, refers to the Zayma. We are need to one and a half posuk. By the end of Amok Maze Yochel Aretz Yisroel, Zoret Aveis, and Zay of Aschol and Medvosh, the Ato in Eveis and Sreish Yisprei Adom, or Satom Yad Hashem. There is no doubt, and the Mishnah and the Rambam confirm it, that the pilgrim who brought the Bikurim used to say everything, including the sentence and a half, not out of the V'ato in Evesi es reishis kri adomo es nosato v'yad Hashem. It's very simple. Of course, we could not recite the last part of the verse. V'ato in Evesi es reishis kri adomo. Not apply to the God of Pesach. However, we could say the first part of the verse, Laiveinu, Laiveinu, Lamochim Azeh, Losis Laito, Lamesoret Azeh, Eret Zoras, follow the most, very important statement. And give thanks to the Almighty for the Azeh, for the inheritance of the land. Well, you don't read. Question is why? It's a tough question. Why? It is tough because no one asked this question. Well, now let me hear suggestions from the audience. I never spoke about it. You can't quote me. Yes, what do you want to say? Let me give you two answers. One answer will be explosive. You blow up the home. The second answer is the truth. But there is a lot of truth to the first answer too. There are two answers to this question. Answer number one. And please listen carefully. Were we to mention the verse at the Azores, by the Israel and Mokim Azek, by Yitem Lone Azores, and they say, the Zor of Holland Wash, in the section of Arami, Eide Dobi, at the Seder table, Pesach Nai, we would give the impression as if the Vadesi Eisom Melo Oem, Ashon Sosies Yodi Loses Lavon Yitzokoyaki. Where is that person? Vadesi Eisom Melo Oem, Ashon Sosies Yodi La Lavon Yitzokoyaki Loses Lohem. Where is Ivoeo? Within what context was this person? This pasuk, in what context does this pasuk appear? The Dalet Lesheni Shavuo. Let me read it. Ve'tzeisi eschem mitachasim es Mitzrayim, ve'itzalti eschem ma'avidosom, ve'goalti eschem bizrei ha'netuyo, ubishfotim gdeuim, ve'lokachti eschem lilom, ve'yisim lachem balekim. Those we face, we insult, we go out, we look after. Constitute what? Everyone world knows that. So many brushes in other words. The Abba Lesheni Shogula, the four idioms, or the four expressions, or media of Gula, of redemption, of freedom. However, in the next verse, the Almighty continues. He said, "Vahesi eschem, la'oret ha'shem esotzi es yodi, losis eisto la'avrom, yitzva kule yakeh." The question is a Zionist question. Shall we count the Vahesi as a fifth idiom of the world, or should we ignore the Vahesi? The Vahesi is not the fifth idiom of the world. Don't defend any causes now. I don't need any defense. Yes. This is the question. Of course, there is an opinion by the Ram, we don't know exactly, that it is thirsty, he may drink a fifth course, a fifth cup of wine, and the sight of this cup, how will I go? Apparently the Rambam had the number 5 was... He was not sure about number 5. Does it belong to the table of freedoms, of 4 freedoms? So then we have not 4 freedoms, but 5 freedoms. Or doesn't it belong? Since we all drink 4 tables, drinks 5 tables, I don't know, perhaps a young one, I don't know. But I saw great Jews bring just 4 cases. So it means that the conclusion is that that Yahweh does not belong into the table of the sorcerers. Because if it had belonged into the table, it had been a part of the table of sorcerers, then it would have been not arbitrary but punishable. The expression arbitrary cases, everybody knows. Punish cases, no one heard. Did you hear of punish cases? I didn't hear. We even know someone who wrote a book on it. Then you have to mention it. This would have been decided. This Vavesi. The Vavesi belongs to the table of freedom. Or doesn't it belong? Would have been decided by what? By the way we will decide Arami Evidon. If we have recited Aram Evidon in full, including the Pasuk by Yaveinu, Eloret, Alamoki Mager, Mitilon, Vayitilon, Esoret, Aveis, Eretcholom, Bosh, had it been recited by Jews throughout the world on the first night of Pesach, then Ma'avesi Ve'elo would have joined before Rishen Yishavua, before Edom, Agur. But since the Ma'avesi, the Ma'avesi, the Ma'avesi, the Ma'avesi, the Ma'avesi, the Ma'avesi, was left out, was omitted, that the omission is actually, eliminated the Vavesi Eschem from the table of freedoms, and we retain four instead of five freedoms, correct? Why was it omitted? Why was it omitted? Or Chazal was omitted. Why was it omitted? And why actually the table consists of four and not of five? What do you say? Just a moment, there's nothing to do. Why was it omitted? No. Tradition knows four aspects of Gula, correct? Four dimensions of Gula. Not five. The validity is not counted. There are two reasons, and both reasons are true. The validity is not counted since the grant of the land was not due to the new promise made to Moshe, that they see the county, that they see the county, the Goalti de la Kachti, represent four freedoms which were announced to Moses for the first time. No one else prior to Moses has ever heard of that promise. The Tesi, the Tzalti, the Goalti, the Lokach, the four great principles of freedom. Vavesi was not announced, Moses was not the first one to whom after his birth has addressed the Vavesi, Esom Elohoret, Esom Esosetioni. The Almighty himself stresses the fact that he promised the land to the patriarch, Asher Nesosi Es Yodei La'avron Yitzchok Miyakev, Tlos Es Kohen. He included the Vaveisi in the message of redemption, which was revealed to Moshe. However, a Vaveisi per se belongs into the covenant of the patriarch, not into the Mosaic covenant, which was concluded in Israel. The Vavesi is a part of the patriarchal covenant which was reached with Abraham, Yitzchak and Jacob, of course, but it was not a part of the covenant of Yitzchak and Mitzrayim. The covenant of Yitzchak and Mitzrayim consisted of four freedoms. Namely, the Vavesi, the Tzalti, the Goalti, the Lokachti, not a fight. The Vavesi was addressed for the first time to Avraham Avinu, but not to Moshe. More or less. Why not? More or less. The purpose of the fierce reprisal was not the entry into Eretz Yisrael, not at all. The purpose which the Almighty pursued by taking the people out of Egypt and setting them free is not the entry into Eretz Yisrael, into Canaan. Even though the latter was the destination where the people who were heading after them, they departed from Israel. Wa'alechem me'eni Israel, the Eretz Godas Kwaknani Aprizi Eretz Godas Kol of Israel. Yes, it was the destination, but not the destiny. There is a difference between destination and destiny. Between destination and purpose and goal. If I travel from Boston to New York, my destination is Boston, is New York. But my goal in traveling is not New York, but something else. I don't know what. The destination certainly. It was Eretz Yisrael. Va'alechem me'oni Mitzrayim el Eretz Achnani Achivim Ayvutim. Va'aprizim Adirgoshi Eretz Zobat Kolo Medosh. Va'al! I'll bring them, yes! But this was not the purpose. What was the purpose? After the Gaalti, what comes after the Gaalti? Vlokachte, Manad Arsina, Martin Taylor, the formation of the new community, of a Mamlechus Kiyan in the Gay College. The kingdom of priests in the holy nation of Martin Taylor, who wants that the Lakhti was realized that the Yetzias Mitzrayim is justified no longer. The Almighty said to Moshe, Vezela Choreim, Kionechi Shlach Ticho. The Tia Beiti Acher Yisroel Mimitzrayim. Tavdu Yisrekim, Malahor Azer. What did he tell us? Moshe complained that he is not a man who fits to be the representative of the people in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Vis-a-vis Dimitri, Hera. HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him the following. Moshe, I selected you because the purpose of the Tzius Mitzrayim is not economic political freedom, the attainment of economic political freedom. Had I wanted to grant political economic freedom to the people, I would have chosen somebody else as leader. You're not qualified for that. However, the ultimate end of the Tzius Mitzrayim is the transformation, the deformation of Hamamlech Haskini, the Gay Kodesh, a people of Torah, of a scholastic community, where the teacher is the central person, figure. As far as forth from as the purpose of the Exodus is teaching people. Teaching slaves how it is possible, how a slave can become a prince. Or a member of the Yachas Kiryas of the Gay College. I don't need a diplomat. I don't need a commander-in-chief. Had I needed them, I wouldn't have chosen you. I need a great rabbi, a teacher, who should show the miracle to transform the people within 7 weeks from slaves into Mamlechus Kiryas of the Gay College. And for that job, you are most qualified. And I want you. And this is the reason that I have selected thee, because Beit Yaakov is the only Mitzrayim. After the people who depart from Mitzrayim, your job will not be to come to conquer a land, but to teach them how to worship God on that mountain, the mountain. is exactly the reason. That's exactly the reason, please. That's exactly the reason for omitting the last verse from Parshat Arami Evidori, because this is not included in the covenant which HaKadosh Baruch Hu reached with Moses, and this is not the purpose of Yetzias Mitzrayim. Yetzias Mitzrayim is the Lokachti, period. In facing itself is the Lokachti, the ground in Lokachti, period. Later, I can promise you this, when they say some of the I shall associate your day, not because I'm clear with my, I shall associate your day, love one hit for the yard in water for him. I'll do it! But the table is limited. Four. The highest is the Malakach. The Malakach is the perfect. The goal, the talent. The evasion is outside. I promise, I address my promise to the patriarchs, I will fulfill my promise. But does not belong to the other people. Unfortunately. That's why there are the cases and not Chodesh cases. Because there are the cases, by the end of the Mokhim Hazeh was omitted from Arami Evidori, when the cases was taken out of the table of events. Let me say, Pesach is the festival of Yetzias Mitzrayim. Pesach is also the festival of Matan Torah, because you know Shavuot was appended to Pesach. It's called Atzeres, a stay over from Pesach. You know that. But Pesach is not the holiday of Matan Torah, of Yisrael. It is not the festival on which we celebrate the entry of the Eretz Yisrael. And the most important thing, because the purpose was the Lokachti, and the Yisrael is outside of the table of freedom. So you ask me, so Bias Oretz is an important event in our history. Our bond with Eretz Yisrael is strong, invisible. Not even time can defeat our loyalty to the land. So the Torah does not tell us to observe the Bias Oretz, to celebrate Bias Oretz. Yes, she did. My mom is good to herself on Sukkot. What is the character of Sukkot? What kind of a holiday is Sukkot? So my mom is a mere de Mukhi, he said. It's the holiday of Bias Oretz. The inheritance of the land, and the entry into the land, and the conquest of the land, and of our eternal right to the land. Not this. Let me read the quotation from my mind. I believe, my mind is right, that the four species are symbolical of expression of our rejoicing that the Israelites changed the wilderness, no place of seed, or of figs, or of wine, or of pomegranate, or of water, for a land, for a country full of wood and river. In order to remember this, we will take the fruit which is the most pleasant of the fruit of the land. Unquote. What does my mom say? Sukkot is a Yom Tov of Bias Oretz. My mom has mentioned the mitzvahs are more meaning typical. Typical of the celebration which is associated with the land, with the producing land. I'll also mention Sukkot, which is Sukkot also. It's a Sukkot, Mitzvah Hamayim. All those mitzvahs have a certain link with the land, because the mitzvahs are, are representative of the celebration of the holiday because of the Rosh Hashanah. Pesach we observe because of Yetzias Mitzrayim, Shavuos Mabon Perek, Sukkos the Rosh Hashanah. And the Vayyehi of Amokim should not be recited on Pesach. It does not belong into the table of freedoms when you bring four cases in that time. There is another answer. Because this answer does not remove one question, does not answer, does not need the question in total. Namely, this answer does not need the question in total. The Mishnah says, Achigena Parsha Sarami Ritoni Kulo. So how could the Mishnah say? I gave a reason why the last verse is not omitted. It's omitted. Because Sukkot is outside of the table of four freedoms, which HaKadosh Baruch Hu addressed to Moses. But still the Mishnah says, the Gainer Kol HaParsha Kulo. It concludes the whole Parsha. I believe that there is another answer. I mean, it's up to you to choose. I have no doubt that at the time during which the sanctuary stood on Mount Moria, and Israel al Admosom, and the people were on their land, we used to say with great love and gratitude the last verse, like the Einer Lamokim Azeh, Vayitim Lo Nesoret Adin, Sechetzov Ascholom Adin. With great enthusiasm, with great ecstasy, we felt duty bound to thank God, not only for the Exodus, but for the entry into the promised land, and for the construction of the Beis Hamikdash as well. When the Mishnah says, when the Mishnah speaks, I want to know, the Mishnah is an Arvet Sochim, speak of Pesach during the time of the Beis Hamikdash, not a Chal Pesach, Pesach and Golan, but Pesach in Eretz Yisrael, while the Beis Hamikdash was still on Mount Moriah. Then the Jew used to say, Arami Evidovi, from beginning to end, by the Einu Ramokim Azeh, Yitl Lomes Oretz Azeis, Erez of Ascholo Mitzvah. For times have changed. The Beis Hamikdash was destroyed, and it was all conquered by the enemy. The Jewish people driven all the land. Chazal apparently doubted the propriety of Thanksgiving and on the night of Pesach, for a land which lost its children, and for Beis Hamikdash in shambles in the ruins. And they, at the whom, they illuminated the land. Which one do you like better? Which one do you like better? First, maybe, I also. But you'll be in the minority. You'll be in the minority. What I'm concerned as far as the first parrot is concerned, with regard to the first parrot, first answer, is the Mishnah Achikiner Kola Parsha Kula. Not Kola Parsha Kula. Of course, according to the second parent, the Mishnah is beautiful, the text. The Mishnah is a Kabbalah from the time of the Beis Hamikdash. Then we used to say the whole part. After the destruction of the temple and the departure of the Jews from Eretz Israel, We eliminated the last one. What? No, I mean this. No. For instance, the Mishnah says also in the Kohen, Kol HaParsha Kulo, or even if you left out the sentence, Vishtachaviso, Vinachtom, Ve'eshem, Ve'kepo, Vishtachaviso, Ve'eshem, Ve'kepo. Because this one is out of context completely. Right? So how many do you have? How many have eight. So how are you two? I'm afraid I'm going to tell you
one
more, where are you? I don't know. You count. So now let us redefine. What does that word mean? That's all I mean. Before you, 5 minutes of ages, I asked you what that word meant. So what would you have answered me? What would you have answered me? Three answers to read. The reason to say the Russian time. But now we have new concepts of Hakode. What's number one? Three. Next. Remote. Look now. Next. My favorite. Next. Huh? From God is four. You? Sira is five. Shira is six. The declaration that the God is the eternal good in seven. And then what? And then the goal. What is the goal? The goal of the fear of Israel. The goal, the telos of the fear of Israel. The destiny. So how many up to ten, how many are we missing? You read two or three or six. I'm closing now. Everybody, the 15th night of Nisan is a night of ecstasy, as I said before, of love and gratitude. Hence, we thank God not only for the chesed he bestowed upon us in Israel. This would be a limited way of expressing gratitude to God Almighty. Just for the events in Israel. The Jew on that night, while I was there, is God aware and God loving him. He suddenly reminds himself of many, many acts of endless kindness which God bestowed upon him, for which he is indebted to his Maker. Everything he is, everything he has, everything he will ever have, belongs to God. God created him, God sustained him, God feed him, God gives him whatever makes life worthwhile. Should we thank for that? I mean, on the night of Pesach? Or should we live out all the hassle? Just limit this prayer to the event of the conflict which transpired in Israel, this every 500 years ago. Of course not. So he extended the prayer from the event of Israel to current events. With himself, his own life, the life of his household. Then he says, and the part of the Agoda consists in telling God nothing else, in addressing to God nothing else but the childish prayer. Thank you, God, for everything. And that was the Jew who built us on Mosque. I told you there is a good someone is a part of secret institutions right now. How is it a part? Well, she's so much in the art of this is not enough. to integrate, to suffice to integrate the CS with simple get some Oslo into the framework of simple CS with right. No, this is not enough. Because the simple CS with right, the Hauer, the Shabbat, is extended. The today I got the public way hostile model. Now, yes, I love the model, the human body. Hallelujah, not for events in Israel, but for calling to them. And there is another, this is the ninth step. And until now we spoke about Hallelujah and Shire, and praise and glorification for the events in Israel, not for other events in the world. For there is another problem. And why thank God exclusively to ourselves? Why not express gratitude for everybody? For mankind as a whole. And why only for mankind as a whole? Why not acknowledge our indebtedness for God's kindness, not only to our men, but of every flesh, every plant. Why? We can also participate and share in the mitzvah simply tzeis v'tzrayim. There is the first aspect. What is it? Just to read. Who cannot read? Everybody can read. This is simple. Second aspect, limud for yourself. Understand, explore in depth, analyze it. The third aspect is the great privilege which was granted to us to join the community of the Masorah community, of which the Almighty is a member. Wouldn't you like to join that community? Don't have to pay any dues. Now you are the fourth, yes? You still have to the fourth aspect. There is something else in Sifu Yitzias Mitzrayim in the structure of the Agoda, which is relevant. Regarding the mitzvah of Sifu Yitzias Mitzrayim, the form of narration, the way we tell this story, avails itself of a dialogue, Kehila, so forth, of a dialogue. One asks, another person answers. The whole disciple, basically, the whole disciple. The whole disciple responds to the four questions asked by each other. Now question, the fifth question, arises. Why is it necessary? Why is it necessary to dramatize that a child should ask? And we try to stimulate the child, the curiosity of the child, in order to make him ask. Child is sleeping, he's hungry. But we try to make him. Why is it necessary? We got it from the Jewish, of course, when you came to Alechem Bnechem. So why did it require this kind of dramatic conversation, of dialogue, of asking and answering? Of inquiring and responding. Why was it necessary? I believe that this law is nurtured by basic idea. God reveals to man only if man searches for him. If one is not inquisitive, if one expects God to reveal himself without making and no out effort to find him, he will never meet God. Bekashtem ishom umotsoso kisidre gut. Kashtem ishom es adeshem lekecho umotsoso kisidre shenu vechol evodecho vechol nafshecho. From thence you will seek the Lord, and thou shalt find him, and thou search after him with all thy might, with all thy heart, with all thy soul. Nachmanides, in his comments on the verse, Mishichni Tidreshu Bosa Shama, his habitation, ye shall seek, and bitter, thou shalt come, says the following, Shetelchu Rei Meretz Merchakim, ותשאלו, אי דרך בייס הרשם? You should come to me, the Almighty says, from distant lands, and you should inquire, where is the road leading to God's habitation? The searching for this sanctuary, the curiosity to know where the sanctuary is per se a great experience, redeeming and sanctifying. The curiosity hallows the efforts of man and makes the pilgrimage meaningful. When Yisra asked Moses, what do the people do in your place the whole day? Yisra didn't understand. Yisra had a clergyman, he had hours for the sitting congregant. And he saw that Moses spent the whole day with the people. He asked, what did the people do in your place? Or what are you doing for the people? Ma'atre Yisra o'mazeh. What did Moshe answer? The first answer, I gave a few answers. But the first answer, I want to make in quotation. Ki yogei yom elai midrash esolekin. The people come to me because they search for God. The people are God thirsty, God intoxicated. They want to find God. They search for God, and they want guidance from me. The first night of Pesach, we try to stimulate the curiosity of the child. We try to make him inquisitive. And we want, because the story of Mitzrayim is a story of a long search on the part of many generations for God. We'll finally find it. He will come close to us. And we want the child to join. To join this march of the Masorah community. And how can a child join this march if not by asking questions during the night, during the day? To arouse the naive curiosity of a child is like making a child a God searcher. What is more beautiful than that?
Now, aspect number, what was number of? Aspect number five. What is Adana here? A search for God. Just a minute. Let's recount. Let's imagine there is a balance. Let's recount. Technical reading, long next, study, three, Masero, four, search for God, four, not three. We don't sleep at home. To search for God, not only to find God. God will never reveal himself to you personally, if not physically, and doesn't search for it. Now, aspect number five. Sipu Yitzias Mitzrayim, like the whole Seder, is structured around, I'm afraid to say the last word, around what would you suggest? Structured around, revolved around why? Pseudo. A needle. Nothing sensational. A needle. The framework within which the mitzvah Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim is attained and fully realized is a plain Sudas Yom Tov, a meal, a holiday meal. You want me to prove it? Or you believe me? I have to prove it. So this is a great, we call it Kiddush. You know it's simple. The first act, as a Seder, is you know what, how you begin the Seder. The Skiddush, Kaddish, the first act, the Kiddush, is an integral part of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. I want you to understand that Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim on Pesach night begins with the Kiddush and concludes with what? This is the broche of Ishtabach. Melech kilchei oilamim or melech mulev at Ishtabachis. The attention to the Samozen Pesach night is not the ordinary Birk Samozen of an ordinary Sunday or Monday or Tuesday. It is a Birk, the Birk Samozen is an integral part of the Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. And so is the Kiddush. That's why the Shulchan Aruch said that we must not recite the Kiddush prior to Shkia, to sunset. Even though we are ready to postpone the drinking of the wine until after nightfall. It's not the drinking of the wine, as the Magen Avraham wants to interpret, for the recital of the Kiddush, Asher Baruch Hapon Mecholam Reman Mecholash. This itself is the first act of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. Why? Apparently the Kiddush on Pesach night has a double connotation, double meaning. It is Kiddush because Pesach night is holiday, a little yonder, and it is incumbent upon us to recite Kiddush, to usher in the Shabbos by the recital of Kiddush, the Shabbos and yonder. And secondly, the Kiddush itself is a part of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. First of all, the Kiddush is considered as a part of Sipurit Yisrael. And I would say that very simple to explain. Why? What do you say? I beg your pardon?
Yes.
You said something, I didn't get it. What? No. A different business. Go ahead.
Well, which course is it? Supposed to be.
No.
Oh, if you meant this way, say you're wrong.
No. Because the Ashabach upon the Kolom is the third expression of freedom or redemption, which HaKadosh Baruch Hu revealed to Moshe, Shemukachtes from the Lom, and the Eir Lachem Rukim. Doubt is the ends, and this is basically the purpose of the Tzias Mitzrayim. So before we start telling the story of the God and the events in Tzias Mitzrayim, we declare right away that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has fulfilled his promise and showed us as a covenantal community and as a separate, unique nation. This is number one, correct? This is number one. But there is another reason. I believe the second reason is the true one. Sifu Yetzias Mitzrayim Pesach Narayim is implemented through two media, two ways of implementation. I mean, both are necessary, are indispensable. One medium is what we just said. Word, or spoken word. This is Agada. Second, if you said the prayer, if you mention the prayer, doesn't hear it. Through eating food, consuming food. Simply. Very strange. Because Pesach, Matzah, and Morer, eating of Pesach, Matzah, and Morer, I mean, pursues actually two objectives on Pesach or not. Namely, one objective, the fulfillment of the mitzvah of Pesach Matzah Morer. Thereafter, for Matzah is what was supposed to have been there, for Matzah Morer in Yichlu. Second, the eating of Pesach Matzah Morer is an instrument or a medium of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. We tell the story by eating Pesach Matzah Morer. Not only by using the human gift of speech, the spoken word, but by acting like a natural being, emitting those religious articles, I mean, the symbolic food item, it won't fulfill the mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. Who said it? Rabbi Soloveitchik said it, so you don't listen. Who said it? Rabbi Gamliel, of course. As a matter of fact, Rabbi Gamliel in his statement, Kol Shel Omer Ashrei Shedvorim Eilu Tatesach L'Yotzo Yidei Chavosei, as it is stated, I mean, that the eating of Pesach Matzah Morer is a part of what? Is a part of Sifu Yitzias Mitzrayim. You can tell a story by using your vocabulary, you can tell a story by doing something. And you do tell the story of Mitzrayim in two ways. By speaking, by speech, and by acting. Acting in the sense of eating. And Rabban Gamliel, what did Rabban Gamliel add? That before you eat Pesach Matzah Morer, you should you should interpret their symbolic significance, connotation, what they symbolize. Pesach, Matzah, and Moed. In other words, Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim is a blend of storytelling, Torah teaching, and partaking of a meal. Funny blend. A combination of the spoken words and a physiological function, such as eating. Sudeh Pesach night means an intermingling of physical pleasure with Torah debate. You don't want to debate, all right? Of an activity which is motivated by biological pressure and which is not characteristic of men at all. It's an animal activity. This one medium, one part of security is Mitzrayim, and the other part consists of God's warrior. Combination of both is the story of Sipur Yetzias. I mean, is combination of both represents Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, the perfection. And Kiddush ushers in the Suda Shabbos and Yom Tov, or every Shabbos. You must not eat before Kiddush. Why? Why? One must not eat before Kiddush. Why? Because before Kiddush, whatever you eat before Kiddush will belong to Suda's Chet. And the Jew is enjoined from consuming his Suda's Chet on Shabbos. As simple as that. Then you know the aloha, you all know the aloha, in Kiddush or in Kim Sudeh. Why is it? That if I say Kiddush, and the Kiddush is not followed by a meal, so the Kiddush is meaningless. Because the function of the Kiddush is to usher in the Sudeh Shabbos. This is the introduction to Sudeh Shabbos. If Kiddush is not recited, whatever a Jew eats and consumes is nothing but crumbs from the Suda's Chet. The Jew is obligated or enjoined to eat Shabbos exclusively, Suda Shabbos. I'm not speaking about Shabbos, don't you know. Kiddush makes the Sudeh a Sudeh Siyonte. And Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim and Pesach night is a combination of Haggadah and Sudeh. I would rather say that Haggadah is structured and revolves around Sudeh. The frame of reference is Sudeh. Do you understand very well? So Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim is not only consists not only of a mirror of Bitvorim, of speaking, of saying, of pronouncing, of using my gift, speech, which God bestowed upon me, but by a combination of the spoken word and physiological activity, which is being raised and elevated to great heights by being combined with the spoken word of God. As a matter of fact, I'll just let me interject. I could have omitted it. Sude is a service. Sude is a service to God. For Sude, in the presence of God, to eat in the presence of God, are central ideas in Judaism. Judaism wanted to achieve this, an institution, I mean, to create an institution which prima facie is absurd, that man is obligated to eat in the presence of God. That eating, consuming food, is a holy function, a meaningful performance. It's something great if it is done in practice properly. And that is, for instance, a verse like Vayovei Aaron v'cholzik v'Yisroel, le'echol lechem in chesed meshech lifnei olekim, that Aaron and the elders of Israel came to eat bread in the presence of God. All such verses, like Rachalto lifnei Hashem rekecho, were so completely alien and the border from the paradoxical as far as the Greek civilization was concerned. The Greek civilization, you had legends about Diogenes, who used to hide himself when he ate, because eating is an animal function, and the man should not exhibit the animality. I mean, Aristotle couldn't understand, how can you serve God with your stomach? You serve God with your mind. Jacob Schiff, when he once visited the Shuas Rav Yitzchak Ofana, and he walked in into Rabbi Aronovitz's room, and he was saying Yeshir and Yeredeya. The old timers still remember him. So Jacob Schiff asked the guide, what did the old man say? What is he teaching them? So he told him what was he about Melicha, how to solve meat. So he said, I don't support institutions, religious institutions which are interested in the stomach. Of course, the first chelak of Yeredeya is interest concerned with the stomach, with the abdomen, no question about it. But this is the greatness of Yeredeya. To teach the stomach or the human body to behave in the presence of God. More difficult than to teach the mind to behave properly in the presence of God. If you start with the mind, you'll fail. If you start with the body, you may succeed. And whoever knows the expression Shulchan Shalom Mechaber, the table is like the Mizbeach, which grants atonement the person who eats it. You understand what it means what the word Sude means or denotes. And around that Sude is the whole Seder structure, and Sifur Yetzias Mitzrayim as a mitzvah was integrated into the Sude, into the institution of Sude. Now, what is, of course, what is it now? What is number? Fifth. It's not common to my sheep, so on. Of course, you'll take the second aspect, Limud, the third aspect, Masero, the second aspect, Limud, the third aspect, Masero, the fourth aspect, search of God by the child. Of course, all those aspects don't apply to Mikra B'Kurit. Typical even though Mikra Bikurim is involved with Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, but Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, as far as the pilgrimage is concerned, was a simple act, the reading and that's all, consisted of reading and that's all. Rimud Maseo, search of God, is typical and characteristic exclusively of the Agoda Pesach night. Now let's pick up the fifth aspect of the Agoda, of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. Fifth, you count again. Why the Achri Chilu is fifth correct? It's Sunnah, correct? Sixth, primary mistake. Even though both Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim and Pesach and Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim by the Nevi Bikurim, by the Pilgrim, are rooted in a Korah stable, as I stated before. The ways in which gratitude is expressed by the pilgrim and by the Jew Pesach night differ from each other. Mikra Bikurim consists of shelach, or expressing thanks. Agode consists not only of shemach, but of shiro as well. What's the difference between shemach and shiro? It was an element which was completely overlooked by the Mefarshei Agode. They identified shiro with shemach. It's completely wrong. What? Shemach is what? No. If you will be less philosophical, it would help. Just a minute. Yes. Yeah, what's the song? What? Thought out the plan. Shira is spontaneous. You're right. Shira is spontaneous. But it's still. But you didn't answer my question. Nine. I might apologize later. In Mikra Bikurim, the precept of gratitude is fulfilled indirectly by telling the story of Yetzias Mitzrayim. There are no special words of praise. There are no explicit words of praise. In Aram Elidovi, from the beginning to the end, there is not a single word which we use in order to express our thanks, our indebtedness to the Almighty. What do we do in Aram Elidovi? I mean, the way the pilgrim used to say, the pilgrim used to do, what? Describe the facts. Narrate the story of the events which happened. All of them now were superfluous. The duty of Akoras Taylor was discharged by describing the events. This is considered Shevach, or Hallel. What do you say about it? Is it Akoras Taylor? All one is supposed to do, was supposed to do, when the pilgrim came to the Beis HaMikdash, he was to tell the truth, nothing else. What happened? a God. For me, I understand. There was implicit shevach, implicit word of praise in the descriptive, in the narrative about events. Correct, correct. I would like you to quote me a Gemara. Yes, you are right. But if you don't tell the story, it's there. There was no need for extra word of praise. All the Torah wanted the pilgrim to do is to tell the truth. And the praise is implicit in the truth. Correct? Now, yes. It's a Gemara, yes, what's a Gemara? No. And the Gemara asked the question, why is there no Hallel on Purim? What did the Gemara answer? To read a story, the Tiras Esther is the highest praise. There are no words of praise to the Almighty in the Megillah. You just read the story, you understand the story, and by reading and understanding the story, you understand that God supervises the events and is responsible for the salvation. This itself is like equals praise and glorification. This is kind of priosezu removal, which the Talmud applies to Megillah. In other words, thanksgiving is implicit in the narration itself. But on the night of Pesach, are we satisfied with just with the descriptive story? Or certainly not. On the night of Pesach, the Shevach expresses itself explicitly in words of praise. We narrate. Truly, we narrate the whole story. Yet we are not satisfied with implicit praise. We sing a hymn. Here I come to your spontaneity. We sing a hymn. We recite Hallel. We say particularly Shiro Chadosha. And in Israel, I'll apologize to him now. And Shiro Chadosha means spontaneous. I don't ask whether it is necessary or unnecessary. Perhaps a description just of the event would be modest praise. Nakadosh Baruch Hu does not need Hallel, nor does he require of a person, I mean, to sing to him a hymn. Sing a hymn to him. But on Pesach night, the Jew is not only grateful, he is overflowing this great gratitude. It is a night of ecstasy when man is God intoxicated. It's the night of a new day, the day of the Lee, we say Shir HaShirim Pesach night. Shir HaShirim is the motto of the holiday of Pesach, of the 7-8 days of Pesach. It is the romance, Pesach initiated the romance between God and the community. Maimonides was asked, once, not asked, he objected to the practice, but he asked, What right do you have to praise God and to cite many attributes of God? Who is man? Foolish man, does foolish man have a right to praise the Almighty? Does man, as Maimonides calls him, Shayim Khan Mocho Bekever, the day Rabbi Zakai had applied the same title to man. Shayim Khan Mocho Bekever, today is here and tomorrow in grave, foolish, limited. What right does he have to sing a hymn to God? My man is objected to the Shira Yichud and the Shira Kovet. So what did the Paitonim answer him? What did Chassidim answer my man? Exactly. You ask for license? I'll tell you where the license is. Philosophically, we have no license. Philosophically, it is an arrogant. It's an arrogant act. It's impudent and insolent on the part of man to say of God, okay, la God, la Diva, la Nero. What right do you have to say? Do you understand what God is? Do you have access to the Almighty? But the license is to be found in our inability to suppress our longing for God and our desire to praise Him. And in men must sing a hymn to God. The hymn is foolish, yes, from an intellectual viewpoint. It's absurd. But we cannot suppress, we cannot remain passive. We have to sing, no matter how foolish. And in the day, in the day, in the day. So Pesach night, the Jew asks no questions. He's overflowing with love, with gratitude. It's not enough to describe it as. He does describe an Aramid of it. But when it comes to the fourth cup, he feels it. And throws off all control, so to say, and begins to say Hallel, 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 Agoru, the Nishbas Kochai, the Lord Hashim Hashim. Of course, Mikra Bikurim is just descriptive. The words of praise are implicit in the descriptive narration. While Pesach night, the words of praise, I mean, are spontaneous and explicit. Jew sings a hymn to God, whether he is qualified to do so or not. No questions asked. He has to do it because he must do it. You know the old saying, who comes to the most. Now, what the aspect? We have to say the Hill, the Eitzi, Akadish Baruch Hu, Saresenu, Mitzrayim, Arionu, Vnei Vameinu, Mishubodim, Oyinu, Mifare, Mitzrayim. Do you recognize the sentence? Do you identify the sentence? All right, where is it? Where is it? The beginning, where is it? No, I want to know. At the beginning of that one. Good. Next, we repeat the same sentence, of course, using different words, but the same idea. The whole day of the day, I want to know the same thing. The Mitzrayim. Shenema, the son of Eitzim Isho. Do you recognize this sentence? Huh? If I were to give an exam here, to identify certain states, certain sentences, how many would fail? Chodeh vodeh chai vodom liras asatz meiki vuhu yotzom mitzray. Shnema veisonu heitzi misho. Where is it? In the Agoda, yes. No, of course I'm good. I wouldn't quote the Megillah. 10 days before Pesach, I wouldn't quote the Megillah. But where is it nowadays? After we conclude the parsha Sarami and Medomi, we are about to what? To start Hallel, saying Hallel. So we insert the Bechodeh Vodeh Chayimot Omdeh Satsmei to Milot Zom Retrayim. This is second. There's a third quotation, the Sivara. V'yishu amdo la v'seinu v'lonu, shvayachot bovado v'bolenu lecha v'seinu v'akadish bohu ma'atzoleinu v'yodam. Do you recognize this sentence? Yes, all right.
Let's analyze those three sentences. The first we make right at the beginning of the recital. Correct? Gilu eitz ha-kosh boruch ha-sarsenu mitzroyim. Areonu b'neinu b'nei b'neinu m'shibodim ha-jimu ha-farad mitzroyim. In order we make it at the very beginning of the Kodesh. Very beginning. You just start of a new farad mitzroyim and right away you say. Yitzias Mitzrayim is not an event which occurred 3,500 years ago. No, it's important. It is relevant to us. Why do we say it? In order to explain our interest in events which occurred long, long, long ago. It is worthwhile. What question do you want to answer by making this statement? What question do you want to answer by making this statement? Okay, what's the question? What? Irrelevance. Who is interested? If you tell a story, people have gotten to be interested in the story. Who is interested in what happened 3,500 years ago? I'm not interested in what happened today, this morning. I certainly have no interest in events which transpired 3,500 years ago or more. So what is the answer? No, you have to be concerned with it. They merit your interest, your concern, because they are relevant to us. If not, Gulas Mitzrayim, no Jewish people would have come into existence. So it means it is relevant. Since it's relevant, what does it merit? If it's relevant, what does it merit? It's stark curiosity. It's got to be recorded and told. Which event is recorded in history and which event is not recorded in history? Relevant events, not only for the people, for contemporaries, but for future generations. And that's exactly what we say. The events which are going to narrate are very relevant to us. Because if those events hadn't taken place, the old Jewish community would not have come into existence. The second declaration, what is the second declaration? What do you say in the second declaration?